Coming to you live from the studios of AM 1400 KKZZ in Ventura, California, your morning inspiration station. This is Two Moms and a Mic, the Kim Pagano Show. Today, Kim's joined in studio by the lively Marsha Hively and scheduled to join us on the program today, the maven of menopause, Ellen Sarver-Dolgan, as well as motivational storyteller Thomas Dismukes, and speaker, author, and personal coach Xander Sprague. If you want to be part of the program, give us a phone call at 805-639-0008. Once again, here's your host, Kim Pagano.
Right. Thank you, everyone, and welcome. We've got a great show, and thank you, Marsha, for being a part of my day today.
You're welcome.
And being a part of my life, because I love you as my friend.
Thank you. Me too.
Well, thank you. And Eric, you always do such a great job. I love how you enhanced Marsha's name.
The pleasure is always mine,
you
ladies.
You do a great
it's
job.
It's my married name, so I don't take any responsibility for
it. Oh, there you go. See, there's always a way out of it. But this should be an interesting show, and I want to make sure everybody knows. If anybody's, it was kind of cute looking at their mom or their wife or their,
Or themselves.
Or themselves. Yeah, there you go. And you're wondering, what happened to me and who am I? Maybe you might be entering menopause. And, this is going to be a great segment for you. Also, we've just got some, great other topics that are just going to enhance our show. And, of course, I love to bring value to our lives. And that is kind of why I come on every morning to help us balance our lives as families, as parents, as children, as mothers, daughters, everything. You know, we're always kind of putting another hat on. And, welcome to my show. I am Kim Pagano, and my show is the Two Moms and a Mic. And that means, are you a stay-at-home mom? Are you a working mom? And sometimes we actually, you are a working mom, and now
yes.
You're a stay-at-home mom. But yes. That doesn't mean you're not still working, does it?
I think I work harder now.
I know. Isn't that crazy? I wonder how, when I owned my salon, how I got everything done. But it was easier. And now that I have,
When I stopped working, I used to own a store, and I had a lot of people that worked for me. And about 6 months after I sold my store, someone said, so how is it staying home? I said, well, it's exactly the same, except for I talk all day and no one does what I ask them to do.
And that is perfect. That's great. I mean, and that is really it. And I don't think you get as much done.
Well, you have a lot more unknowns. So because especially when your children are small, you cannot, everything changes. You don't know what's going to happen from moment to moment. They're not going to necessarily by your program or what you wanted to get done that day in the same amount of time. So you have to be very fluid.
Yes. You're kind of a cheerleader to get your life going, And you just talked about your boys are going through finals.
They're in high school. And yep. My daughter is too.
Yeah. And one of my sons is going finals right now, which he took it with him.
Worst time of the school year.
I said, why is it when my children have finals, I feel like I have finals?
I know. And then not only that is, I've got a son that his school is not his best subject. Let's just put it that way, right?
Well, some people take a little longer to mature.
Exactly.
And, I do find that kids are that are passionate about something, and I know your kids are all passionate about something, that eventually when they're allowed, as they get older and go to college or go off on their own, when they're allowed to focus on that passion, they just sprout. They just bloom. But some kids, just to go along with the, day-to-day minutia of what you have to learn, drags them down.
Right. Well, this is my youngest one that I'm talking about, and he is in high school. And, I'm trying to, kind of not help him as much and say, this is your choice. This is your job in life. And you have to be your own producer. So do you want good grades? Do you want, that teacher is just so boring. Well, guess what? Then try to figure out a way to make it good for yourself, because it's not her grades. It's your grades.
Well, and there's a lot of things you have to do as an adult in life that are boring. I hate laundry. That's like my nemesis of life. And unless I'm going to strip everybody down and wash it all at once, there's always laundry. It never stops.
Right. And in life, that is life. I mean, so you kind of got to, candy coat it, get right. through it, and, you know, move to the things that you love in life.
That's right. But still take care of the things you have to get done.
Right. Because you want to play hard, you got to work hard.
That's right.
And that's kind of my message to my children right now, and it's been difficult.
You know, it was very interesting. One of my sons had an epiphany. You know, we have a nice life, and they have not had to want for much in life. We don't give them everything, but, you know, they've got their clothes and their food and all the basic necessities of life. They've never really had to think about getting. So in one of their classes, they were doing a survey or whatever you want to call it of what you expect out of your life and then how much that costs and what you need. And Alec was looking up careers and what you make. And he's like, oh, so a six-figure income is pretty good, huh? And my husband says to him, it depends what side of the six-figure you're on.
Oh, that's very interesting.
You know, six-figure, $100,000 seems like a huge amount when you're in high school. But when you're raising a family of five,
it doesn't go very far.
It doesn't go that far. So he had him, you know, put down how much he expected to have a mortgage of and car payment and phone payment and, you know, all the things that we pay. You know, he just said, this is our expenses every month.
Did he get it?
Yeah, he's like, oh my God, what am I going to do for a living?
And that is so reality right now. And that's why, you know, there's all those people down there that are losing their homes and, you know, they're trying to get, well, we live so beyond our means.
That's
and
right.
I think that this needs to be a class for our kids.
Well, I think part of the problem is that society has accepted that. I mean, we used to take mortgages and we would, you know, take money out of our house to do something we really didn't need to do.
Exactly.
And not realizing, no matter, you have to pay that back.
Right.
You know, it is not a gift. It's a loan. And a loan means you pay that back. And then now people are realizing, oh my God, I can't pay that back.
Right. Well, it's funny. My oldest daughter is going back to get her master's and she took out a student loan and she sat down and talked to me about it and said, Mom, what do you think? This is kind of the route I'm going, which of course I want her to finish her schooling and I think it's great. And she goes, and I go, have you figured out how you're, and she goes, no, I'm going to just be broke like the rest of the world. And I said, that is not really the right way. You don't want to be broke for the rest, you know.
It's the American way, though.
Well, I don't know. I mean, it is sad that that's how, you know, everybody thinks their choices. So,
well, and the thing that they think is that these things that they're buying with their money or getting themselves into debt is opening up their life. What it's doing is weighing down your life.
Exactly.
You know, my husband and I are not in debt. I mean, we own our house and we actually... I mean, we almost own our house, I should say.
Yeah, there you go.
Very close to it, though. And we own 2 out of 3 of our cars. But we have 4 drivers, so there you go. But we chose 10 years ago that we were not going to make any debt that we cannot pay.
And you know, and I think that everybody goes out with that philosophy, and they feel like that. Well, obviously, we hit a recession, right?
And my husband lost his job.
He did, exactly. So you definitely are going, you know, feeling that. But
because we're not in debt, we're not in trouble.
Exactly, because you put away for a rainy day and you lived within your means, correct?
Right. I mean, I can't say that's going to be true forever. Who knows?
Well, because, you know, you pray to God your health is okay. You pray to God that you made good choices.
But right now we are going through what do we actually need to live off of? And we decided that the month of February is going to be our austere, you know, the month to not spend money. And we're only going to spend money on things we need and see how much it actually costs us to live, because I think a lot of us don't know how much it costs to live.
And, you know, I think that's a really good a topic, because you're right. I mean, we just McDonald's, or we just want a Starbucks, or we just want to, you know, and what do we really? I mean, that's kind of a little bit of our show yesterday, is to live more and have less, you know.
I know. I was, you know, my kids now drive, but some days I still take them to school, and they go to school 35 miles from our house. So I stopped by Starbucks on the way home, and that's what, and over Christmas, you know, I had gingerbread pudding. So it's like almost $4 for a cup of coffee. I mean, that's ridiculous.
It is. It's really, and you can have a cup of coffee at home.
And then you could do it 2 or 3 times a day. Some people go to Starbucks. There's like this, I read this article about college students, and the majority of their debt is Starbucks.
Yeah. And now that they give credit cards and all that, I mean, that they're just, everybody's giving you a credit card. Well, you need to be looking at your life and saying, hold on a minute. Do you want that?
I mean, if you think about it, $4 a day, if you drink one coffee a year, I mean, one coffee a day, every day of the year, you know.
Do the math. Right?
I mean, come on.
It's no different than smoking cigarettes. I mean, with the exception of it being, you know, slightly less unhealthy. I mean, say what
exactly
you will about
right.
caffeine and all that. But the interesting thing to me that I'm hearing in all of this is there's a dichotomy that you ladies are getting at in terms of that there has to be a balance between personal responsibility. But, you know, also I think, you know, looking at and hearing the description of all the, you know, the store credit cards, hearing the about the teaser rate mortgages and the like, doesn't there have to be some sort of corporate responsibility as well? Have it go hand in hand between the two sides?
Absolutely.
And I agree with that. With that, you're listening to The Kim Pagano Show, Two Moms and a Mic. And we're going to take a really quick break. And when we come back, we'll be talking more.
Your life is busy, sometimes just too busy. What with the kids, shopping, house and car maintenance, pet care and all the special projects that show up, the daily list just goes on and on. But did you know that reasonably priced quality help is just a phone call away? Let Central Coast Concierge take care of the busy work in your life. From grocery shopping to house cleaning, auto care to yard care, child and pet sitting and transportation. Whatever the project, large or small, they do it all and will make sure it gets done right. A concierge makes sure what needs to get done in your busy life gets done so you can live your life. From setting up your home entertainment system to waiting for the utilities, cable, and repair service to show up. No job is too small and the rates are affordable. Enjoy your life again. Reconnect with your loved ones or just get some time for yourself. Call them at 805-290-1091. 805-290-1091 or find them on the web at www.centralcoastconciergellc.com. Remember, Central Coast Concierge does the busy work. You live your life.
You're listening to The Kim Pagano Show on AM 1400 KKZZ Ventura. Connect with Kim online at twomomsandamic.com as well as on Facebook, facebook.com/twomoms. Once again, here's Kim.
All right. Welcome back, everyone. You know, Marcia, the last time we were on, we were talking about a little bit of your life and who you were, and we kind of left everybody hanging, as right? As your husband said,
yeah.
Right?
My husband goes, what? You're just going to leave it like that?
There you go. But talk to us a little bit about, you know, you've had kind of a, how many years was it?
You mean of
your life.
Tragedy?
Yeah. I mean, but, you know, it's you've kind of, thank God, came up on top.
Yeah.
And
I, you know, I'm very, I don't know whether it's because I've was in the floral business for so long. And I know this sounds awful and you probably won't think about this as florists, but we deal a lot with death.
Well, yeah, because you're either
funerals,
wedding, I mean, or funerals,
exactly.
Right? Yeah.
Birth, weddings, funerals. So, about actually 4 years ago, my mother tragically drowned in our backyard pool, and which, you know, I begged her to get a fence, but I don't know that that would have helped her. She drowned in the middle of the night, and I know that sounds really awful and weird, but It was a really, I guess I have to explain it. It was a really hot night in Camarillo. And she went outside. My father had been very ill. He had had a stroke. And, you know, she'd gotten up to take him to the bathroom, went outside to cool off. And we think she may have either put her feet in the pool or waded in the pool. And she had diabetes. And she probably, which we don't really know, but she probably had a seizure and drowned. So after that, then I had a series of other issues. My father, who I said had had a stroke before, had another stroke, and then surgery, and eventually a year and a half later, he passed away. Although I gotta say, the difference between my mother and my father's death, if there can be a joyful death, my father had one. For all of you who have parents who had Alzheimer's, we thought my dad had Alzheimer's and severe dementia, and then he had a carotid artery surgery.
Which was totally successful.
Completely successful.
How old was he when he had that surgery?
82. And thank God for the surgeon, because he really didn't have to do the surgery. He could have chosen not to, but he gave my dad the choice. You know, if without the surgery, you'll have another stroke and you'll probably die. With the surgery, you could die in surgery, or it could help you. And my father, who never, if you hear old people want to go, my dad did not want to go. He loved life. So he wanted to live. And then after the surgery, my father had no dementia, none, year and a half of his life, which was such a gift, because he was a biochemist, brilliant man. And, you know, he, although physically wore down over the next year and a half, he had, you know, other failures, and eventually died of heart failure. Mentally, he was all there, which was such a wonderful thing. And then a year ago, my brother died unexpectedly.
Wow.
So, you know,
knowing you and going through all this with you, you know, I think that...
And in between, you know, I had a disc go out, and I had to have neck surgery. And then last year, I got breast cancer. So, you know, when people say they can't endure a lot...
You know what they say is God gives you what you can handle, and sometimes it's
I hope that's not true, because I don't want to know how far I can go.
And that's it. I was going to say, okay, just because you're a strong woman and, you know, there's a lot of out there that can handle things, we don't want to. But I really have to say, I think that you kept a lot of this inside, as we all do, right? And kind of just kept working through it.
Which is one of, you know, my gynecologist said there's been links to breast cancer and stress.
No question.
So, but I do have to say that faith really made a huge difference. And I don't care what faith you are. I'm not one of those people that think that there's only one way. I always think there's more than one free way to get to the same place. So, but when you have a community around you that helps when you have a tragedy, like I did, and when you have a community of friends around you that helps when you have a tragedy or, you know, a sickness, there's nothing better than that. So I was very lucky, or very blessed, maybe.
I would say.
You know, that I had people around me. But that said, a lot of that, you do have to go by through yourself. I always say losing a parent is like belonging to a club you never wanted to belong to.
Wow.
Because nothing is the same. And I'm sure losing a child is the same. And thank God, knock on something, that I have never had to deal with that. But it's different.
Right. And you, I don't know, you lost your brother too. And, you know, right?
Right.
So.
Who was 2 years older than me. And, you know, we were close. And losing a sibling is a different thing. But I think... You know, not that it wasn't profound. I think maybe because I lost Mark after I lost my parents, you know, maybe if I had just lost Mark first, it would have been much more profound. But he was, I mean, not he died unexpectedly, but he had had a rough life. You know, he's the one that found my mother, and he was never the same after that.
That's...
And as well... you know, he had drug issues his whole life. So it wasn't unexpected. I know that sounds, even though it was tragic and unexpected, at the same time, you kind of, when you have a brother who has drug and alcohol problems, you prepare yourself your whole life for that phone call.
What a terrible
thing.
So,
you know, that's terrible to say, but it's absolutely true.
Right. Well, with this, we're going to kind of, which you've actually done with your life, is definitely turned it into positive. And I know we have Thomas on our line, and he's going to be speaking. He's a motivational storyteller, which you did an incredible job talking about your life. And I know that that's really hard for you. My heart goes out to you. And, you know, I've gone through all those things with you. And thank God you're...
Well, and thank God I have friends like you.
Well, thank
you. To do that. Because, you need to lean on people.
Oh, no question.
And I have to say, I have a fabulous husband.
And you do.
And so, you know, the Rock of Gibraltar. So, you know.
There you go. All right. Welcome, Thomas. Are you there?
Hey, Kim.
How are you?
I'm doing very well. Thank you.
Well, thank you very much. So you've got a couple stories, too.
Yeah, I tell you, well, Marcia, let me say this to you real quickly. I thank you for telling your story. People always ask me all the time, you know, how can I tell my story? And I always tell them, you help other people tell their story by telling your story. And thank you, Marcia, for your story. I tell you, that's an amazing story to tell.
And it sounds like I had a very tragic life, and my husband always says, God, if we weren't so happy, we'd be miserable. But
and that's, again, you know, what a positive way of looking at it.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. I know for years my motto is, I'm not happy unless I'm miserable, because usually, I know it's kind of a sadistic way of looking at it, but usually it's the worst times in our lives that we learn the most from.
Absolutely. I read this thing.
In some ways, why do we have to go through all that stuff? But that's definitely true. We learn a lot from our tragedies, that's for sure.
So, Thomas, tell us a little bit about what you do.
Well, I guess I'm a motivational storyteller, and I guess what I do is I just travel all around the world now. I've been blessed with adventures around the world, everything from just kind of crazy trip adventures, from skinning skunks in spacesuits and lassoing wild beavers and riding rodeos, and I discovered lost medieval tomb in Scotland when I was 16. Just crazy, and breaking Guinness World Record, just crazy trip adventures, but... And I guess my point is not really for people to hear my story, but just like Marcia was missing, it's not my story. It's important. It's to encourage other people to tell their stories through their talents and their passions, their desires, their God-given gifts and abilities, and just, you know, really live your life of significance.
I love that. And, you know, before our show started, Marcia was telling me, what did Mackenzie say? Because this totally falls in line.
15-year-old daughter were driving home one day, and totally out of the blue, she says, I don't know why people say life is so short. We only have what we have. You don't have yesterday because it's gone, and you don't have tomorrow because it's not there. So you only have today, and it's as long as it is. And I thought, okay, she has like an old soul.
She is an old soul, I have to tell you. And you know what? That is it. If everybody just said, you know what, when somebody asks you to do something, yeah, I'll be there. Yeah, I'll do it. And that sounds how you live your life, right, Thomas?
Yes, ma'am. And just like what you're talking about, I guess everyone just assumes we will live another day. I guess a question I always ask, that are we designed to live in the past, the present, or the future? And of course we're designed to live in the present. But sure, we plan for our future and we learn from our past. But if we're designed to live in the present, then why are we thinking about our past so much? And when we're thinking about our future, we're worried about our future. So truly we do, obviously we do have to plan for our future, obviously, but we do truly have to just kind of live our life to the fullest by telling our stories. That's really what I do. I just go around and tell them a bunch of crazy stuff, adventures. But more importantly, I relate those back to life and leadership. And we have a fun way of doing it. It's kind of sit back and relax and kind of almost just backcountry stupid humor in a lot of ways. But how everything happens for a reason, and it's just a matter of, can you open your eye and your ears and to really hear and get that message from it.
Yeah, it's funny because I was thinking that we all, especially for parents that stay home with their kids, I mean mothers that stay home with their kids, I used to think, and I bought into the fact when I worked, that it's really, you know, the quality of your time that you spend with them, not the quantity. Then when I stayed home with my kids, I realized it's not just the quality, it's the quantity, because it's the little teeny things. It's not that the kids miss it when you're not there. You miss it.
Yeah.
So being a parent, you don't necessarily see the funny moments every moment if you're not there. And I don't mean you have to be there if you have to work. God bless you. But be there when you are there.
Right. And it's a balancing thing. So you have to be enjoying who you are and giving at the same time so that you can share in those moments.
I mean, if the only time you have with your kids is to cook at night from 6 to 7 and then they have to go off and do it, have them cook with you or talk to them while you're cooking or do something that you're actually enjoying your children. Because I think sometimes we go through life and we don't even enjoy our life.
I broke the Guinness World Record when I was, I guess, a couple of years ago, balancing things on my chin, which is kind of a bizarre world record, I guess. But
say that again, Thomas. Say that again. What was your record?
It's a Guinness World Record for balancing glasses on your chin. The world record was 75 pint-sized glasses, and I balanced 95 pint-sized glasses, which, again, is absolutely useless in life. Really.
Did you practice this?
No. Well, I mean, I could do 40 or 50. Well, I did balancing things all my life. And ever since from my little, as a kid, in the kitchen, I would balance, macaroni boxes and canned goods and stuff like that. And then I would try to, if I can do it on the floor, then maybe I can balance with my fingers. So I did mops and brooms with my finger. I thought, if I can do it on my fingers, then maybe I can balance things on my chin. So ever since then, I've balanced, sailboats and teenagers and all ladders and all kinds of this crazy stuff.
Now, what kind of student were you, Thomas?
What's that now?
What kind of student were you?
I was in the. I made the top 90% possible. I guess if that makes sense. I was the 10%. I'm just a regular old student, but by no means was I the sharpest knife in the drawer.
Well, that, I like that.
Well,
but you always had fun, right?
Yeah, love for life there.
That's right. But I guess what you're talking about, just having a balance in life, is that so many people do try. How do we make that balance between the professional life and personal life? And my grandfather told us all kinds of crazy adventures, and he always told us that everything happens to us for a reason. And so all my life, I had this, balancing stuff, and the ability to balance things on my chin. I never quite figured out what it had to do with life. And then I realized the only way I could break against world records was by having a good focus and having a good balance in life. And so that's what we talk about usually, is FOCUS and keeping first things first and always serving others and having good character and always seeking understanding and always go to the source. And it kind of goes to those letters. What you're talking about with spending time with your children, I cannot, it breaks my heart. I was speaking to an insurance group in New Hampshire one time, and the CEO of the company came up to me with tears in his eyes. And I said, Thomas, I'm a multimillionaire. I truly have everything I ever really want, all material things, whatever, but I would give it all away. I would sell my entire fortune if I could just have a better relationship with my wife and if my children even knew who I was. He had everything except for his family. And
that's right.
And I see that so often, and we just kind of live in that. Like I said, there's nothing wrong with having money, and nothing wrong with having those things, as long as those things don't have you.
Exactly.
And he just didn't have those proper priorities in life, and that's really what I kind of talk about a lot, is just having a good focus and keeping first things first in your life. And for me, as a Christian, I keep God first, then my wife, then my children, then my close circle of family, friends, and then my career and other lines. That's when you get things all out of whack, is if we lose that proper perspective and proper focus.
So, Thomas, did you have any kind of epiphany in your life that led you to this?
To storytelling, I guess. Well, like I said, my grandfather, I guess he really had a great impact on our lives, and he lived through the Depression and World War II, and he would tell us all kinds of this crazy stuff. I mean, just really just bizarre things, and he'd always tie everything back to life. And after, my grandfather would tell us a story as we were leaving, he'd always tell us a silly poem, and the poem made no sense. It was kind of nonsense. It was kind of silly, but he always got us all around, and he'd say, "Okay, kid, come here," and he'd always say, "It all happened right here. Far, far away, a long, long time ago, just yesterday. It was one bright day in the middle of the night. Two dead soldiers got up to fight. Back to back, they faced each other, threw their swords, and shot each other. A deaf policeman heard the noise, got up to arrest the two dead boys. If you don't believe this story is true, ask Charlie the Blind Man. He saw it, too.
Oh,
funny.
And we said, Grandpa, what does that mean? Why ain't you telling us this crazy story? It's nonsense. It's silly. It's kind of stupid. And I'll never forget, I guess that was 8 or 9 years old or so at the time, and he said, kid, you don't know what's crazy. You don't know what's stupid. You know what really doesn't make sense in life is someone living a life with goals and dreams and passions and desires and never using them. Just living your whole entire life just kind of helping other people accomplish their goals and dreams and not really fulfilling everything you want to be in life. And so he really just a challenge us that day just to live our life to the fullest. And he was about 80 or 90 or so at the time, and in the grand scheme of things, it is a pretty short life, with eternity. But just truly just to live our lives to the fullest. And, you know, treat each day as if it is your last. And obviously plan, like I said, plan for the future, but just do what you love and find, tell your stories through your time and your talents and your passions. And just, you know, like I said, just live a life of significance. This is it. And, you mentioned something that I thought was startling. I read recently that the average, all people out who have died, I guess, in the last couple of years, and they try to figure out just how much time do we really have before, you know, once someone knows they're going to die. Yeah. And the average people have cancer that said they're going to, you know, a year, and people average out the amount of time that people, like a car accident, so they're dead instantly. But they said on average we have about 11 seconds before we know that we're going to die. So 15 seconds in our life is perfectly fine. Plan for the future, 14, everything's great. 13, loving on our family and friends. But at 12 seconds, that's when we realize, oh, no, something's wrong. And then 11 seconds, I'm going to die. And then things start ticking down. And on average, you have about 11 seconds. Once you realize you're going to die, that's it. So I keep thinking, I'm not going to get everything done in 11 seconds. So better do it. You know, do it
so
all
you got to start now. Yeah. And, Thomas, this was incredible. You are a great motivator, and I'm so glad that you found your passion unmasking your superpowers, basically, right? I just want to list off the power of focus and that you have on here is the power of our choices, the power to let go, the power of our words, the power of our thoughts, and the power of perseverance, and the power to die empty.
Yes.
And
so how would people get to read more or hear more of you?
Well, I like to say, I travel all around the world, and obviously everyone can, you know, they can always get in touch with me to the website, storiesthattell.com. But this morning, when you said that, people always ask me, Thomas, do you have a book? And my wife's going to kill me for saying this, but I've yet to get it all finished. It should be out in March, I guess, but I've culminated all these stories and put them in a couple different books and stuff. But so they're there for people to read, and they all have the meaty morals to it at the end of it. But yeah, the unmasking your superpowers, that's just a culmination of lots of stories. And so, you know, you kind of, and I believe everyone likes a story. I mean, who doesn't like stories, whether you're 8 years old or 80 years old? When you start saying once upon a time, people perk up. But so I have a lot of stories in it, and then I back them up with some good meaty principles. And so that's what unmasking your superpowers is. It's just a catchy little title of just, you know, unmasking those powers that we all possess. That why there's so few people what is a superpower? A superpower is simply a power that few people possess, and a superpower is just a power that few people have or at least possess. And so, you know, we have all these powers of our choices and our power of perseverance and our power of our words and our power of our thoughts, and people just don't use them, you know, to help other people out. And so, I just get those points across the story.
Well, thank you so much. This has been great. I'm going to have you back. You got so many stories over there. Well,
it'll be a pleasure. Thank you.
You got it. And that was Thomas Dismukes, and we will be right back.
It's busy, sometimes just too busy. What with the kids, shopping, house and car maintenance, pet care, and all the special projects that show up, the daily list just goes on and on. But did you know that reasonably priced quality help is just a phone call away? Let Central Coast Concierge take care of the busy work in your life, from grocery shopping to house cleaning, auto care to yard care, child and pet sitting, and transportation. Whatever the project, large or small, they do it all and will make sure it gets done right. A concierge makes sure what needs to get done in your busy life gets done, so you can live your life. From setting up your home entertainment system to waiting for the utilities, cable, and repair service to show up. No job is too small, and the rates are affordable. Enjoy your life again. Reconnect with your loved ones, or just get some time for yourself. Call them at 805-290-1091, 805-290-1091, or find them on the web at www.centralcoastconciergellc.com. Remember, Central Coast Concierge does the busy work. You live your life.
You're listening to The Kim Pagano Show on AM 1400 KKZZ. Once again, here's Kim.
All right. We've been storytelling today. This has been quite a journey. And right now we have Xander. Are you on the line, Xander?
I am. Hi, Kim. How are you?
I'm great. Welcome. Thank you for joining us.
No, thank you for having me.
Absolutely. So you have now do you already have your book?
I do.
Okay,
I do.
Yeah. Okay, because I didn't get it yet. But choosing a positive pathway after losing your sibling, correct?
Yeah.
And basically kind of what we've been talking about, making lemonade, choosing a positive pathway, and, you know, kind of looking at things. Tell us your story.
Well, in December of 1996, my older sister was murdered in her apartment in Chicago. And obviously that was just a horrific experience for my family.
I'm sure.
And, you know, as I, a couple weeks after that happened, I was driving in my car, and I kind of came to the realization that I alone was going to have to figure out how to deal with this. Although I had, you know, I'm very close to my family, I have a great circle of friends, I really had to figure out how I was going to deal with the loss of my sister.
You know, I want to interrupt you for 1 second. Actually, I'm looking kind of through your website here, and your introduction is kind of what Marcia just said. Marcia's my guest on here, and she's kind of gone through the similar thing, is if you're new to the club, yeah. you pray you never want to go down that, join that club, right?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Now, my brother died, but he was not murdered. Let me make that clear. And I do know that one of my best friends in high school's father was murdered. That is a different experience. I'm not going to put myself in.
Out, yeah,
my heart goes out to you. I'm sorry.
Thank you. But, you know, I really, through this experience, I decided that I chose to honor my sister by going out and doing things to help other people. And that's a big reason that I wrote this book is, you know, every day in the United States, about 7,000 people die. And I wonder how many of those have left a sibling behind. And it's, you know, I'm going to say with what is it, the average is like there's 2.1 children in every family. There's at least one sibling.
Right.
And, you know, unfortunately, we're the lost survivors. People came up, I was living in Boston at the time where my parents live, and naturally people would ask me how my parents were, but people weren't asking how I was. And I really, you know, I mean, I experienced this loss too. This was you know.
Okay, yeah. So your parents are still alive?
They are.
Yeah, I do think that makes a difference. When it's the first person in your family that has passed away or died, especially when it's a violent death, each person does, it's like a piece of a puzzle. And there's a piece of your puzzle, your family puzzle, that's gone. And so each remaining piece has a piece that touches that puzzle that is now a whole. And I do think you each go through your own experiences and have just as much loss. I mean, the loss of a child is unbearable. The loss of a sibling is unbearable. I mean, loss is hard.
Oh, no question.
Yeah, absolutely. And you know, I'm on a mission to help not only people who have lost siblings, but people who have experienced loss to define their loss and not have it define them.
Right.
I like that. What would be your message to everyone?
My message is that you have a choice on how you want to deal with this loss. I choose every day whether I want to talk about my sister. And in fact, I'm unfortunately a two-time sibling survivor. 3 years ago, my sister-in-law passed away quite suddenly, and it was just before my book was about to come out. And it wasn't violent. It was a medical condition, but it rocked me to my core. Again, wasn't something I was expecting to have to deal with all over again.
Wow.
And you know, but
well, unfortunately, I mean, if you live a long and happy life, no matter who we are, there will be loss along the way. I mean, we are all either going to be the one that is dead or the one that has people dying around us.
There's no doubt.
There's no avoiding it. So
right.
You have to learn to be positive and to deal with it in a positive manner.
I think so. You know what? Can you give out the name of your book so that everybody can get a copy of this?
Sure. Okay. It's the name of the book is called Making Lemonade choosing a positive pathway after losing your sibling. Now, that's a long name, but if the website's actually easier, it's called makinglemonadebook.com.
Okay. All right. Well, thank you so much, and my heart goes out to you, and keep being strong. And did you have another question?
No.
Okay. All right. And we will. Can you find me on my website, and so I can post this?
Yeah. Okay. Absolutely. I'll put that. I'll send you an email, and the book is on the way to you, Kim.
Oh, great! Thank you so much.
And congratulations that you have figured out a positive way to deal with this. And I hope you can touch other people that have had the same tragedy
and the pain.
Thank you.
Thank you so much for being a part of my show.
You bet. Thank you so much for having me. And Marcia, it was nice to talk to you too.
You too.
All right. Mm. Well, we're going to take a really quick break, and we'll be right back.
Your life is busy, sometimes just too busy. What with the kids, shopping, house and car maintenance, pet care, and all the special projects that show up, the daily list just goes on and on. But did you know that reasonably priced quality help is just a phone call away? Let Central Coast Concierge take care of the busy work in your life, from grocery shopping to house cleaning, auto care to yard care, child and pet sitting, and transportation. Whatever the project, large or small, they do it all and will make sure it gets done right. A concierge makes sure what needs to get done in your busy life gets done, so you can live your life. From setting up your home entertainment system to waiting for the utilities, cable, and repair service to show up, no job is too small and their rates are affordable. Enjoy your life again, reconnect with your loved ones, or just get some time for yourself. Call them at 805-290-1091, 805-290-1091, or find them on the web at www.centralcoastconciergellc.com. Remember, Central Coast Concierge does the busy work. You live your life.
Let's go, girls. Come on.
This is the Kim Pagano Show, Two Moms and a Mic on AM 1400 KKZZ Ventura. If you'd like to be part of the program, give us a call. Our phone number, 805-639-0008. In this segment, Kim will be joined by the menopause maven, Ms. Ellen Sarver-Dolgan. Once again, here's your host, Kim Pagano.
Well, we've had some interesting subjects today, and that is real life. Unfortunately, we kind of go through some trials and tribulations, and as I have you, Marshawn, as my guest, you know. And, of course, this is another thing that hopefully we can go through this lightly. Ellen, are you there?
Yes, I am.
Welcome. Thank you so much for being a part of our show.
Well, thank you.
Well, this is such an interesting subject, at least for me.
I'd have to say
for several women right out there and men, because, you kind of, your life kind of starts changing. You don't really know who you are as you used to be, right?
Yeah, exactly. And what happens is it happens young.
It happens young. And I love that you've kind of made some light of it, which is great. So talk to me about who you are and how you've kind of put this book together.
Well, first of all, I must say that I should define Shmershki, if that's okay with you. Shmershki is my word for vagina.
Okay.
And it also means woman. So I have a Shmershki, and I am a Shmershki. And that's why I call the book Shmershki, The Pursuit of Hormone Happiness, because we all have Shmershkis in our lives, and all Shmershkis are in the pursuit of hormone happiness.
Okay.
My story kind of began in my mid-40s, kind of late 40s, and I started experiencing perimenopause, which is a word I didn't even know existed at the time. I'm now 57, so this was a little while ago. And I was completely sideswiped. I had no idea why I couldn't sleep all of a sudden, why I couldn't think clearly. I was emotionally on a roller coaster. And frankly, I felt like my whole world was kind of crumbling around me. So I started researching and trying to figure out what was happening to me. And along the way, I read a lot of very long and difficult to understand books, and it was confusing to me and frankly boring. And so finally, I just decided to write the book I was trying to find, something that was quick and helpful and full of love.
And Ellen, I love how you put in here that you feel like an alien has taken over your body because
yeah.
sometimes you do feel like that.
Yeah, yeah. It's really frightening, actually. And one of my big messages to Shmershkis is that you are not alone and you are not going crazy. I mean, there are over 50 million Shmershkis in North America dealing with menopause.
So Ellen, I'm Marcia. I'm Kim's guest tonight today. And I got to say, I am right on the verge of this. I mean, I'm 49 for another month, I should say.
Yeah.
But
you're close, babe. Sorry.
I haven't started this, but I have terrible memory of my mother going through menopause. I mean, she never took any hormones or did anything. And she was nuts. I mean, I can honestly say that she had three kids in high school, teenagers at the same time, and we were not nice about it. And the poor woman, I mean, the fact that she stuck around is just amazing. But she had it really tough, and I completely fear menopause.
Yeah, I can understand that. As a matter of fact, I have the reason why I use the pen name of E for the book is because it's full of other women's stories. So it's your mother's stories, it's your story, it's every woman's story. It happens to also be the first letter of my first name, Ellen. And I have many stories about the very same thing you're talking about, Marcia. You know, one of the gals that I spoke with told me that her mother literally went in her bedroom, closed the door, and didn't come out for 4 years.
And, 4 years?
And she had to be the mother and take care of her sister. And to this day, her mother insists she didn't go through menopause.
Wow.
I just remember my mom crying.
There's a lot of denial going on.
Unbelievable.
I think my mother cried for 4 years. I mean, off and on, you know, she either cried or she was in depression. And unfortunately, you know, at that time they didn't, and she was of the generation, because she had me at 36. So she was, you know, World War II generation, that you just sucked it up and suffered. You didn't go out and get any kind of help. So what kind of help is there?
Well, first of all, you know why that was? Because my grandmother went through the same thing, and therefore my mother did too. My mom's 91 now. My grandmother went through what they called in those days a bout of depression. Mm-hmm. They never used the word menopause. And a lot of Shmershkis were put in mental institutions, mm-hmm. given shock treatments. So the next generation, like my mother, didn't want to talk about it.
Yeah, they were
she
afraid.
She didn't want to be in it. She didn't mm-hmm. want to talk about it. She pretended she was fine when she wasn't fine. I mean, she suffered. And that's why I'm trying to break that taboo, because really, you don't need to worry about it, Marcia. There are things that you can do to prepare yourself. And I'd like to think of Shmershki, the pursuit of hormone happiness, like a toolkit for your Shmershki. And we have lots of tools in there for you to use.
So, Ellen, let's start going through some of the things, since you've done so much research. I want to hear some of the things that you found to be helpful.
Well, first of all, and foremost, you must find a doctor who specializes in perimenopause and menopause. And I use the analogy, would you go to a dentist to fix a broken bone in your knee? No, you wouldn't. So often this doctor is not the one who delivered your babies. Mm-hmm. It is a doctor who specializes and understands perimenopause and menopause. That's real, real important. I can't stress that enough. I devote a whole chapter to that, how to find that.
I agree with that.
The next thing is to know all the tests and things that you need to have taken to make sure you're actually in perimenopause, because, you know, a lot of the symptoms of perimenopause can mimic thyroid symptoms, and so people are confused. And you need to straighten that out. Make sure you get the hormone panel that you need. And then in the back of the book, we have what we call a daily symptoms chart. I've got 30-some-odd symptoms divided up by physical and emotional, things that you might feel. And if you take that and chart your symptoms, it takes 5 minutes before you go to bed to chart them, and take that in with you to the doctor, this will help your doctor understand exactly what is happening to you and your body.
I love that.
And I also recommend that you take an advocate with you, somebody who's going to listen clearly, because frankly, I got to tell you, when you don't feel good, you really don't hear well.
Right. Well, I found that out. I had breast cancer this last year, and my husband and I would go to the doctor's appointments together. And when I did have breast cancer, and I'm perfectly fine for all of you who are listening. I had the best of all of the worlds. But we would come out of the meeting and we would have heard two totally different things. Mm-hmm. So it is really important to take someone with you.
All right.
Yeah, it's so important. I can't stress that enough. I mean, my husband and I would sit down after the appointment, and he would say things to me, and I'd say, really? That's what? Oh, I didn't hear that.
Yeah.
I mean,
Ellen, I have a question. Sorry about that.
Okay.
I have a question for you as the lone guy in the room. I'm hearing a lot of the menopause issue from the women's side of things, and my goodness, I'm glad that I don't have to go through this sort of change, but I'm curious, what can, say, a husband, what can children, what can other people do to help with this process that just sounds like it's so world upside down status midlife for most women?
Thank you, Eric.
It's really
great
for the men.
Yeah.
Very, very confusing for the men, and that's why this actually is a small book with a big story, so that it is to be given to anyone, male or female.
Hey now.
And so I say it's written for anyone who has a vagina or knows someone who has it. So, but here's what I want to tell you. This one gentleman called me up, and he told me that he and his wife were just the best of friends and lovers and had a great marriage. He called her the love of his life. And he said that suddenly she didn't want to have sex anymore. And their communication broke down. They became really like roommates, he said, rather than lovers. And it just ruined their marriage completely in terms of communication. And they got divorced. And he said, had he known about perimenopause and menopause, had he understood that drops in estrogen level causes a woman to have a dry shmershki, like the shmershki goes to the Sahara Desert for a vacation without telling you. Mm-hmm. And it means sex can hurt. Also, a drop in testosterone can mean a low libido. If he had known that, he wouldn't have personalized it. He wouldn't have thought that his wife didn't love him anymore. Mm. So really, men can do a lot. They can learn along with us.
And I think
the only way that's going to happen is if we communicate with each other.
And I think that's so important, I really do.
Mm-hmm.
All right. So, this sounds like we need to have you back, because there's just so much information that you can give us. Give out the name of your book.
Sure. The book is called Shmershki, The Pursuit of Hormone Happiness.
Okay, and where
can
we
buy it? On Amazon.com or in your local bookstore or anywhere books are sold.
Okay, and Ellen, if you could give one message to my listeners, what would that be?
Don't hide your shmershki under a bush. Reaching out is in, and suffering in silence is out.
On that note.
Oh, I love it. Gosh, you just say it like it is, don't you?
Honey, we got to start doing that, else we won't break the taboo.
I love it. I love it. This has been really fun, and I hope that you'll come back. And are you on
anytime.
Facebook? Are you on Facebook?
Oh, yes. I'm on everything.
Oh, good. Can you find me on there so I can expose you? I'll use your words. There you go. How about that?
That's a whole nother book. But
all right. All right. Thank you, Ellen. I appreciate your time, and we'll definitely have you back, because I know there's tons of questions out there.
Thanks, Ellen.
Oh, thank you so much.
All right. Bye-bye. All right. Wow. We went from,
Well, that was good to end in that, because
it was fun.
It was fun. It was funny.
Yeah. And that's kind of, actually, God just kind of makes my show the way it's supposed to be.
Yeah. It lets you leave with a smile as well as having learned something.
Exactly.
Right.
So then, and that's really what I come in every day. And I hope that everybody knows that out there, to add some value to your life, to give you something to think about, to learn about, to, be able to balance your life in this everyday world. And, of course, I always end my shows with a mommy moment. You gain strength, courage, and confidence by every experience, especially when you look fear in the face. And you know what? I swear, even my mommy moments just kind of work out to be.
Yeah.
And that was the message I actually said to Martian here, don't fear menopause. But there's
At least if that's the only thing I fear in life, that's not so bad.
There you go. But yeah, you got to really look things in the face. Anyways, I want to thank Marcia again for being a part of my show.
My pleasure.
I really appreciate that. Eric, also you for doing such a great job. You always have great questions in topics that maybe won't be like your first priority, but I appreciate your knowledge.
Yeah, pleasure as always.
And the man view.
There you go. Exactly. And, you know, I want to thank all my listeners because it wouldn't be possible without you. And I want to hear from any of you that have a story that you can add value to your life. My email is kimpagano@gmail.com. And I will talk to you tomorrow. We've got another great show.
Just a small town girl.
The Kim Pagano Show, Two Moms and a Mic, airs Monday through Friday from 8 to 9 a.m. on AM 1400 KKZZ Ventura. If you're interested in advertising on Two Moms and a Mic, send an email to kimpagano@gmail.com. And also, make sure to connect online at twomomsandamic.com as well as facebook.com/twomoms. AM 1400 KKZZ, Ventura, Santa Paula, Oxnard.